Well, so glad that those of you that are here today. It's a special day. That was a beautiful song, wonderful mime. So if you could just close your eyes and bow your hearts with me. Lord, I just pray right now that you would just bless the reading of your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just use each one of us for your glory. I thank you, Lord, for keeping us humble and use us to be teachable and honorable vessels for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a sidebar, but a long time ago, Pastor Gene had a prophetic word that in the last days, that these were the last days, and that many would stand when pride and the darts of the arrows of the enemy would come, and those that were not low and those that were not humble, that the darts were being thrown like never before, and that those that were standing in their flesh and their pride would be struck in the heart, you know, with the arrows of sin that would lead to death. And truly, these are times where it's important for you and I to keep our hearts humble and our lives humble so that we can stay low and grow and go with God. So thank you, Lord, for this word. So, amen. Well, there are certain things that must be tested to see what they're really made of. One of those is water. Brian and I had a man come to our house a couple years ago and showed us what was really in our water, and we were very grossed out by it, and we weren't able to see it until they tested the water, and we saw all these different things floating in the water, and it grossed us out so much that we bought a $7,000 water system. So, truly, there are many things that are not able, you're not able to see what's in them until they're truly tested. And our faith is one of them. And when our faith is tested, it goes up before the Lord as either a yuck, what's in your water, or a yes, a yuck, or a yes. And truly, when times of testing comes, God is able to see what our faith is truly made of. In Psalm 66:10, it says, "You have tested us like silver. We went through fire and water, but you, O Lord, were our abundance." And truly, he has brought us through the fire, is bringing us through the fire even now. And truly, the rains are coming, the flood is coming, and his rainbow of promises will assuredly be shined abroad for all to see. Why? Because he's faithful and he's awesome. And he works all things out for our good. And before I get into what we've been going through, I want to just tell you that right now we are standing in the middle of prophecy being fulfilled, that right now I am 100% sure in my spirit that we are standing in the middle of prophecy being fulfilled. You may say, well, that sounds crazy, but it's true. It was 7 years ago that Pastor Jean had a prophetic word that she saw her and her husband like a tomato, and this tomato would be crushed. I should have brought tissues. This tomato would have been was going to be crushed. And as it was, the seeds would go out. And you and I are those seeds. And those seeds would go out. And in the same fruit that they were, the tomato, that same fruit would go out. And those seeds would bear the same kind of fruit that they are bearing even now. And the fruit that they are bearing is souls. Though the church may not be huge in number, the souls is our focus. And the souls is the fruit that is going to be born from the crushing of the tomato that's being crushed right now. So though in this season it seems like we are being crushed, which we are, the fruit is to come of the crushing. You and I are that fruit. And truly, we will bear the same fruit with the orphans and the prisons. And we will go to the nations from this little place and see souls won for the kingdom of God. And I wanted to thank those of you who have shared in our suffering with us. And just as Paul said to the church of Corinth, those of you who have shared in our sufferings will also share in our comfort. And those that have shared in the sufferings that we have gone through and are walking through even now will share in the blessing, will share in the glory, will share in all the promises of God. many places and pastors go through hard things, and many of the people vanish. And it's a religious mindset that families don't go through hard times, and God's people don't go through hard times. When Rodney Howard Brown lost his daughter, many of the people had left. And there was another man who had marital problems, and he separated from his wife for 8 months, and many of the people left. And when he got restored with his wife, not only did the church grow, but many of those people came back. And he said to them, "I've been with you for years through all of your stuff, but you couldn't wait through 8 months with me through mine." And there was another man. It was such a touching moment in our lives when we were at Rodney Howe Brown. And there was this pastor. He was a broken pastor, and he had a son who had died. And he was grieving the loss of his son. And during this time of grieving, many of his church members that were so close to him had left him. And he was financially destitute. And his church, I believe, either crumbled or was crumbling. And he was there. And Rodney had pulled him out. And it was just as like the glory of God shined upon this man so brightly. And he was slain in the spirit and lay there laughing. And all the depression and all the pain. And one by one, there was hundreds of people led by the spirit all of a sudden began to line up and dropped money on his belly and dropped money all over him. And the lines were so long, they just continued to play music, and people led by the Spirit lined up, and they put buckets right next to him, and they were dropping money in these buckets. And it was such a glorious time to see God blessing back the faithful and the broken. And truly, I do thank you all that have in part and in great ways shared with us, because truly you will reap the blessings, because truly we will go forth and be blessed. And before I lay my business on the street, as my grandpa would say, I want to let you know that God has been preparing me for this season in my life for many years, many, many years. And I believe that He's given me a message years and years ago for this very season right now, which is so precious to me from the Lord. And many of you know that I have said that I really love the book of Job, and people may have thought, well, that was odd or weird, but truly, the book of Job was really special to me, because when I was 15 years old, I was dating Brian at the time. I was 15 years old. I hated to read. That is the sole reason I went through seminary, to make myself read the word, because I would fall asleep, and I just don't like to read. And I was in my room one day, and I opened up the Bible to the book of Job. And it was the most special time with me and the Lord. The Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was so excited to read the Word. And I remember reading the whole book of Job. It's long. For me, one chapter was long, but the whole entire book of Job with one water break. And I read every word, and I never got tired, and I never got bored. And I didn't know why until now. And this book was placed in my heart for such a time as this. And there is a knowing in my spirit that no matter what is taken, no matter what affliction we go through, we can raise our hands and praise Him and say, "My God is faithful, my God is awesome, and He is holy, and He is worthy to be praised, no matter what storm comes, no matter what." It's a revelation of who God is and how big He is. And those who say, "Oh, but you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know what trials I've gone through. I've gone through so much in my life." Well, you don't know how big God is. You don't really know who God is, and you're just fixed on your own self, because obviously God is much bigger than our little pea brains. And that's what this book has shown me. And I just pray that, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it real quick and pray that the supernatural knowing of who He is birthed in each of us today, that we will always know that who He is, and He is so big. So there was this man. His name was Job. He was blameless. He was upright. He was an awesome guy in every way. Every morning he would go and burn offerings for his kids just in case his kids might have sinned against God. He was an awesome God. I mean, awesome guy. And one day the angels presented themselves before the Lord, and who shows up other than Satan? Satan shows up. And Satan's hanging out with the angels, and the Lord says to Satan, "So, where have you been?" Like he didn't already know. And so Satan says, "Oh, I've just been roaming the earth, to and fro, back and forth, just hanging around, roaming the earth." And the Lord says, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? Wow, he really is amazing. He is blameless and he's faithless. He's faithful and he's blameless. And Satan says, well, if you've blessed him so mightily, why don't you take what he's got and see if he still praises you then? Surely he will curse you to your face. So the Lord says, very well, you may touch and strike all he has, but do not touch him. Do not lay a hand on him. So Job wakes up another morning in his life, wakes up out of the blue, and all of a sudden, what do you know? His daughters and his sons are feasting and having a party, and all of a sudden this servant runs up to him and says, Job, you're not going to believe this, but the Sabaeans came and they killed all of your donkey and their oxen and all of the servants, and I am the only one left. And before he was finished speaking, another messenger came and said, Job, this fire fell from the sky and it just burned up all your sheep. And all the servants were killed, and here I am. I'm the only one left to tell you. And before he can finish speaking, the third guy comes up and says, Job, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties, and they swept up and jumped right on top of your camels and rode them right out of here, killed all the servants, and I am the only one left. And before the third servant could finish speaking, the fourth one chimes in and says, Job, oh man, you're not going to believe this. All your sons and daughters are feasting and having a party, and out of the blue, this wind came and hit all four sides of the house from the desert, and it struck down the house, and everybody in the house died, even the servants, and I'm the only one here to tell you. At this, Job tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and he worshipped God and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, God, at all this, Job did not sin or curse God. So, another day, the angels appear. There they are, hanging out. Who shows up with the angels? None other than Satan. And the Lord says, so, Satan, where have you been? And Satan says, oh, I've just been roaming the earth to and fro, back and forth. The Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth quite like him. He's blameless and upright. He fears the Lord. He maintains his integrity, though all his possessions and things have been taken away. So Satan says, skin for skin, surely if you touch his flesh, surely he will curse you to your face. So the Lord says, very well then. You may touch his flesh, but you may not kill him. So at this, Job is stricken with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. From there, Job's friends have all these things to say to Job, and they tell him, well, maybe God's punishing you, or maybe there's sin in your life, or maybe this and maybe that. And out of the course of many, many chapters, all of his friends try to come up with the right things and the right reasonings for what may be going on in Job's life. And though Job has lost everything, he's got boils from head to toe, he's naked, his head shaved, he's sitting amongst the ashes, cut with pottery, sitting there in despair, he begins to question, why am I even alive? I'm going through all of this. I've never looked at a woman lustfully. I've never been greedy. I have never taken glory that was not mine. I have done this. I have done this. I have been blameless, and here I sit. Why am I even alive? Don't you know that I was blameless? Don't you know? Why is this happening to me? And though Job, he did not curse God or he didn't go against God, he sat there, and you could understand that he was a little bit upset that everything had been taken from him. You could have a little bit of compassion for Job. He'd been through quite a lot. And as he sat there, and he talked, and he questioned, and he just wondered why he was going through all this, poor Job sitting there. The message of this comes down to, in verse 38, when, out of the storm, the Lord speaks to Job. He says, who is this that darkens my counsel without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstones while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the seas behind closed doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this is how far and no farther, Here is where your pride waves halt. Have you given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by its edges and shaken the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like a garment. Have you seen the gates of death? Have you seen the gates in the shadows of death? Have you comprehended the vastness of the earth? Tell me if you know. Surely you know, because you were already born. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the snail? The snow? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you raise your voice to the clouds? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? And he goes on and on and on. And when you think it's going to end, it doesn't, because it goes on and on and on and on. And you realize as you continue to read and read and read who God is, how big God is, who we are. We are not as big as we think we are. It truly shows us that he told the oceans how far, how deep, how wide, the skies were to form, the stars, he put them each in place. He is an awesome and amazing God. And then when he finally stops speaking, Job says, I am unworthy. How can I repay you? I put my hand over my mouth. Then you would think that he'd be okay. I mean, okay, all right already, right? Okay, we're done here. No. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you. You will listen to me. And on and on and on and on. And it goes on and on. And he truly continues to say about the proud man and the wicked, and who has claimed against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. God. God is big. He's awesome. He's huge. So truly, there's nothing that God will do that we really need to question him over, because we know that he is God, and as we put our trust and our faith and our hope in him, he is continuously faithful, and he has continuously been faithful through all of this. So, God is faithful, he is awesome, and when I was 15 years old, I remember reading this book, and in my heart knowing that I know that I know that no matter what happens in this life, God is so awesome and so big and so huge. And then God blesses Job double of everything that the enemy had taken. He was tested and he was faithful, and he was blessed with double everything, because God is an awesome God. He's a God of increase and a blessing, and he wants to bless us. The devil is bad and God is good. And when we put our trust in God, God brings us through and he blesses us double. So I thank you, Lord, for that. So a couple years later, after I was married, a couple years after I was married, the loudest and clearest I'd ever heard the Lord speak was one night I was laying in bed, and I was laying there, and out of the blue, I'll just replay how this scenario went in my mind. He said to me so loudly and so clearly, he said, I will be faithful to you. I will be faithful to you. I will be faithful to you. And on and on and on, over and over and over. And I had no idea why. I laid there, yes, Lord, I understand. Yes, okay, wow, I know, good, great. I will be faithful to you. 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 And it didn't stop. And my mind was thinking, why? Okay, yes, I hear you. I understand. This is really cool. Wow, God, you're really getting this across to me. And now I see that God will be faithful to me, and he has. God will be faithful to me, and he is. And it was a couple years later that Leslie had prophesied to me, maybe a year or two ago, that there's a reason I love the book of Job, because I would be tested and I would be faithful. And I, through this season just now happening, can look back, and not only all the faithfulness he's shown me right now and been closer to me than he's ever been, I can look back and say, God has been faithful. He's been preparing me. He's with me. And now I know how much he really loves me, because he has held me close. So what's been going on with us for the last 3 months? Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't others like to know? Well, I say this not to discourage you, but to encourage you, because though it is horrible and crazy, it is truly the Lord allowing this to take place for a reason. We are going, this is so astronomically demonic and not the Lord here, that we know that this is for a reason and for a purpose. And so there is reason to rejoice, knowing that God is with us. He is faithful. we're going to be blessed. But it was about 3 months ago. I was large with child, 8 months pregnant. And Brian had come home from a conference, and he began just driving around, not coming back. And it was a week into this when my dad and everybody knew that something was obviously going on. He was coming home pale, and he would just sleep, and he was not eating, and he was depressed, and didn't know what was going on. And my dad prayed and fasted for about 4 hours one day. He had been praying and fasting, knowing that something's going on. We just did not know what. And he felt the Lord say that the root of your problem is sin. The solution is repentance. So he went to Brian and he said, the root of your problem is sin, and the solution is repentance. I heard the Lord say, does that bear witness to you at all? He said, no. So weeks had passed, and truly we didn't know what was going on, and the Lord had at this time given me a supernatural peace that was not me, because I am not a very usually graceful and peaceful person. And the Lord gave me a supernatural peace in my heart to know. I mean, at that moment, it was like my heart turned to the Lord, and he clung to me, and I knew at that moment that no matter what, I would be okay. It was a supernatural experience. And for the next couple of weeks, my dad prayed again and was fasting. He said, well, I know there's something going on. It's not being said, so I'm going to execute Matthew 18. And it says, if the brother sins against you, to bring another witness. If he continues, bring two or three. If he continues, bring it before the church. Well, instead of bringing it before the church, he decided to bring one, bring two, bring three. Just continue to bring people, more and more people, before this thing, you know, gets out, what's going on. So it was 2 weeks later that it finally had come out in a meeting with three people that he had had an affair. And I remember it was about 12 o'clock, 3 weeks after not knowing what's going on. It was about 12 o'clock at night, and Brian was out, and my dad had given me a call. They had just talked to him. And my dad had given me a call and said, with a shaky, loving father's voice, Connie, said, Brian's going to come home and tell you something. And I want you to know I love you. And so I was prepared for whatever, but I had no clue what I was going to hear. So I knew it was something that I had to prepare myself for. And about 30 minutes later, Brian showed up, and I was like, okay, well, what is it? What's going on? And he just looked there like a ghost, white, pale, not eating, skinny, depressed. And I finally said, thinking that of course the answer is no, is it another woman? And he said, yes. My heart just dropped to the floor. And for about 5 minutes, I was just in shock. And then I said to him, Brian, I will forgive you. We will walk through this. I will forgive you. And I knew I had not been perfect, and I would have forgiven him for maybe making him feel like he wasn't good enough and he didn't add up. And whatever sins I had done in the marriage, I would have walked through him on the road to forgiveness and whatever we had to go through. But for the next 48 hours, it was the lies were just a sea of lies. We could not get somewhere to start again. And I was so growing weary and tired. And, you know, this is like the fourth week of going through just a hard time. My mom, dad, and brother came over knowing that I wasn't getting any of the truth, any of the answers. There was nowhere to begin if you're just stuck in a sea of lies. And so I remember the day they came over and my dad picked me up. I was laying on the table. My head was on the table and just crying. And he picked me up and my family grabbed me out of the home and brought me over to their home. And it was as if an angel was just rescuing me out of that house. And there he just held me as I cried. And God was with me the whole time. And I knew that in a very real and special way. I never thought that I could walk through something like that. But at that moment, God did give me the strength and the ability to know that he was with me. I felt his love, and he was with me the whole time, and he still is. And as I stayed there for the next couple weeks, you know, we did see his car continued to disappear, and it was a choice that he had made. And about a week later, my mom woke up, and her face was just paralyzed. She was dizzy. She was throwing up on the toilet, and this... At this moment, this was the the single most sheer panic I'd ever experienced in my life. This topped anything else that I had ever heard or seen or been through. That one moment of seeing her face paralyzed was a sheer panic. She was like, I'm dizzy, I can't stand, and she was throwing up, and it was truly the most scary moment of my life. And we quickly rebuked that out of our minds and said, no, she is not going to be paralyzed forever. This is not happening. We stood in faith, and the whole while taking her to the emergency room and finding out it was Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, which is very, very uncommon. Probably less than 1 in 5,000 have it. She's gone to many doctors. They don't know what to tell her about any of it. And they're like, come look at this. This is Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And not knowing what she was in for through the pain of the whole syndrome, it just has slowly unfolded where it's, you know, pain all in your nerves because of shingles on inside the body, a fire that just pops out on your back, eye pains, you have to tape the eye at night, headache, insomnia, not sleeping, convulsing. Nobody knows but her and the Lord. I mean, this Ramsey-Hunt syndrome is truly demonic. It's of the devil. It's truly a torturing 24/7, non-sleeping, non-peace. There's constant pain, and the heart races for no reason, and the ear is very sensitive, and the whole thing is the most devilish, hellish thing that you could put upon somebody. And through it all, she has known that the Lord is with her and has said that she considers it an honor to share in the sufferings of Christ, considering it an honor to share in the pain and suffering of Christ, continuing on preaching, continuing on in the Word. She has been memorizing scriptures. And many years ago, the Lord told her that the enemy would try to steal her inheritance and her health and to fight. And right now she is fighting, and she will overcome, and so will we. And to God be the glory, because truly souls will be the fruit of this pain. And so that took place. And then my mom's ears were actually, no, the affair continued right there next door. We're living next door. And my dad was having a little bit of a hard time seeing him right there while I'm pregnant. He's always been my whole life been able to protect me. I remember when I was a little girl, two boys came to my house and said something vulgar to me, and he came home, and they were like, let me in, and they said something inappropriate, and I told them what these two boys had said, and he got in his car, he drove, and like, and there were their bikes, and he drove right in front of the bike, and he picked this kid up, the first kid, off the ground by his shirt and said, if I ever see you in the vicinity of my house, I'll kill you, and threw him to the ground, got the other guy on the bike and drove, picked the guy off the bike, off the ground by his shirt, and said, if I ever see the vicinity of the house, I'll kill you. Dropped him to the ground. So those guys never messed with me again. But truly my whole life, my brother and I can tell you story after story. He's been extremely protective. Nobody would mess with his family. I mean, I remember one time somebody said something about Johnny, and he got so angry. And this old lady was saying something about, oh, get this kid out of the pool, because he was splashing her newly done hairdo. And so he got so angry. He wasn't a pastor yet, everybody. No. He got so angry, he did a cannonball right next to the lady, and the whole dude went plop. The whole dude just plopped. She was soaked in water. And then to kick it off, he went and took the shoes of some other lady who thought was that lady. It was actually another lady. Threw him in the pool and said, have a nice day. So he has not done well with anybody messing with his family. And my brother and I have many more stories. I mean, we could sit here for a while. He's always been there to protect us. And through this time, him waking up in the morning, opening up his blinds and seeing, there's Brian's car right there, and here's my daughter about to have his baby, and how could he do this? The spiritual pain was the worst. I mean, he had invested more than anybody into Brian for 15 years. He was his go-to guy, his promised preacher that was going to, I mean, he entrusted him with his whole ministry, with his heart, with everything. He was so, the hopes and the love and the expectation were at a 10, and the whole scene just really kind of irked him, to say the least. So I moved to Melissa's house to not be in that environment for a season. Then I had the baby in surgery. I moved back to my mom's house, and she, going through all her pain, is trying to take care of me in the surgery, and she's you know, crying because she can't take care of me. I'm, you know, bloody incision, new baby, crying, and, you know, so that was a little bit of a challenge. And then the new babies were sensitized, were making the ear pain more sensitive, and going through this pain for so long, she began to despair, not even wanting to wake up and go through another day. It was becoming so miserable, just unbelievably despairing and hard. Not that she didn't keep reading the word and fight, but she was just sheer, utter misery. How long can you be tortured? And so we get a call, you know, a little bit later that from Melissa that Jimmy had totaled his car. He was in a horrible accident, and the two girls were in the front seat. It's like, oh gosh, Lord. So they went to the emergency room. Everybody was okay. You know, they're using my mom's car right now, and that worked out. And so I moved back to Melissa's house because my mom's, you know, the pain in her body has been, you know, just it is come. She's finally coming out, and God is bringing us all out. And the next message will be a message of how God restored and brought back all that the enemy has stolen. So praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So truly, this situation that we're in, though it seems horrible and discouraging, it's really, you can know, be encouraged through the discouragement, that it is the Lord allowing this to take place. Duh! You know, I never expected in a million years that I would be someone standing here saying I'm divorced or about, I mean, never in a million years did you expect, you know, what is Ramsey Hunt? Who knows what it is? It's a crazy demonic thing. And truly, God is with us, and the whole time he has truly shown me more than ever who he really is. He's truly on the throne of my heart, I know, more than he's ever been, and my faith is stronger today than it's ever been. And I truly feel that I truly know true joy, because joy, when the joy inside of your spirit, though you may cry and you're sad and you feel the pain, there's a joy that wells up in your spirit when you know that God is real, and it's only him that can give us that love and that acceptance and that knowing that he is better and than anything else in this whole world. And as we cling to him, we will be blessed. Micah 7:8 says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength, the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." So, with all that being said, I just want you to know that we are standing in the middle of prophecy being fulfilled, and I just encourage you, Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." So if you were discouraged or despairing over our situation, to know to be hopeful and joyful, knowing to be patient through the affliction and faithful for us in prayer. And truly, God is going to do awesome things. Even, you know, here in our midst, that the seeds, we're being pruned back and the seeds are going to go forth. And God is faithful and awesome. So we're going to play a song, and as we do, you can just praise the Lord. If you are yourself going through a hard time, or if you have despaired in any way, I know, you know, if you've despaired in any way over our despair, just to give it to the Lord and know we're going to praise him. We're walking through it. And thank you again for standing with us in this season, because you'll be blessing as well. So, amen.